a little sand story. A monk said to Tosan, "You always tell us to take the way of the birds. What is this way of the birds?" Tosan said, "You meet nobody on it." The monk then asked, "How can we go on this way?" Tosan answered, "By egolessness, attending to each step as it comes." The monk said, "Isn't the bird's way the same as one's original nature?" Tosan said, "O monk, why do you get everything upside down?" The monk asked again, "What is this place where people get things upside down?" Tosan said, "If there were no topsy-turviness, how could a servant become a lord?" The monk asked, "What is our original nature?" Tosan answered, "Not taking the way of the birds." These sand stories makes it very clear it's very difficult to talk about it. And in the West, nobody understands this. Also because they have no idea how it is to be a disciple. A disciple should be someone who is in tune with the master. He wants to learn. In the West, they have missed out on this intimacy, this friendship, this love, this trust. Because they are always on guard. A monk said to Tosan, "You always tell us to take the way of the birds. What is the way of the birds?" Tosan said, "You meet nobody on it." You meet nobody on it because it's the freedom, it's the highest. And the mystics have always said these strange things, the way of the birds, for example. Why the way of the birds? Because the birds makes no footprints. They make no fuss. How can you find that the bird's way? It's impossible. You have to become weightless. You have to become free. Birds, they are a symbol of freedom, no? Free as a bird. So only if you become a nobody can you go that way, which is the whole teaching of Zen, to come back to your emptiness, your purity, your consciousness. Tosan said, "You meet nobody on it." The monk then asked, "How can we go on this way?" No, already he has missed. Already he has shown to the master that he didn't get it. And this is how the mind works. You go from one question to the next. If he had been ripe, then he will get it. Then it's finished there. The master will put him in touch with his emptiness, his innocence. But that's not how it is. It takes time. So then the poor Tosan, he must think with himself, okay, here we go. The monk then asked, how can we go on this way? How can you go on the way where you meet nobody, you are nobody, you have to be nobody? You cannot ask more, you should go in and find your silence. No, that he doesn't. So he's a very new disciple, maybe. How can we go on this way? Thorson answered, by egolessness, attending to each step as it comes. By attending to each step as it comes. That means that you are aware of your actions, of how you move, or how you think, how you behave. You are a master of yourself. Most people are not masters of themselves, so they do all kinds of stupid things. And then they are wondering, how come I'm such a mess? Because you've been functioning unconsciously. Now, what I call the homework, Baba's washing machine, is to get out that impurities of your unconsciously acting, living your whole life. Only then can you start understanding something deeper. This is very difficult to say in words. That's why the Zen people found out all kinds of things, even hitting them, not talking to them. Go and peel the vegetables for 2 years, then come back, ask. It's very difficult. How can you get people to understand? By egolessness, attending to each step as it comes. When you become, you have to practice awareness, because first you are unconscious. So you have to be conscious in small things, becoming more and more aware. That will lead to egolessness. If there is no awareness, no presence in you, then only ego. That means unconscious. If you come more and more present, more and more back to yourself, more and more in the here and now, then less and less egolessness. Till one day everything changes. No ego, only awareness. Only attending each step as it comes. That means living in the moment. Otherwise, you miss every step. The monk said, isn't the bird's way the same as one's original nature? The master must be thinking, oh my God, be quiet now. Thorson said, oh monk, why do you get everything upside down? Why do you again get entangled in your questions, in your mind? Look at me. I'm here. Present. Oh monk, why do you get everything upside down? The monk asked, what is this place where people get things upside down? Ho-ho. I know exactly how this Thorson feels. He's just on the edge to take his stick now. Wham! The master says, monk, why do you get everything upside down? The monk asks, what is this place where people get things upside down? Thorson said, if there were no topsy-turviness, how could a servant become a lord? He is saying, how can a servant become a lord? How can your ego become in charge? How can your mind take charge of your consciousness? You have forgotten. I'm sitting here. We are here to make you aware of what you have forgotten. Nor is the servant the mind. Nothing wrong with the mind when it is the servant. Nothing wrong with it. But everything is wrong if the mind is in charge of your life. And that is your situation. Then everything is upside down, topsy-turvy. Everything is foggy. How to get beyond this topsy-turviness? If there is no topsy-turviness, how could a servant become a lord? This is the situation. This is what you have to ask yourself. How come the mind took over and made all these fears and doubts and confusions and projections and pain and sufferings and conflicts? How come? You have to come back. Most people, they never ask these questions. You have to come back to clear up your own house. Your true Lord, your true Master has to kick out the servant. Or at least tell the servant, no, you behave now. This is the old story. You have been away somewhere. You haven't been conscious. Then the servant, the mind, takes over your house, your whole mansion. Then now you start waking up again. Then you are thinking, what a fine mess I'm in. I have more dark spots than I thought I had. I have to do the cleanup. No, you have to stand up and take charge of your house, of your life. Show the mind who is the master, that you are not the slave. The servants, they don't know how to run the kingdom. Only your consciousness, only your heart. The servants are naughty people. They steal also from the master. Thorsten said, if there were no topsy-turviness, how could a servant become a lord? The monk asked, what is our original nature? It seems like nothing goes into this monk. Thorsten answered, not taking the way of the birds. No, he has done a whole circle, full circle. No, he's back again where he started. You didn't understand that the way of the birds, take the way of the birds, that is the royal path. Leave the ego behind. Be innocent. Be free. Reclaim yourself. No, what is the path? Not taking the way of the birds. And how can you take the way of the birds, which is so easy? If you are easy, if you are not easy, don't take the way of the birds. Start with the way of the pigs, for example. Something that you can understand, my dear monk. Tosan doesn't say that, but I'm saying that. And that's what Tosan must say. What can I do now? He gives up. It's not time. is not time that the disciple, the monk, understand the clear teaching. He's not there. He has to work on himself. He has to do more sadhana, more meditation, more service. He's too rough to understand the way of the birds. So then don't take the way of the birds. Find a way that you understand them till maybe one day. Beloved Babaji, satsang yesterday was like Shiva's fire for me. I almost didn't manage to sleep. And the moon, oi, oi, oi. I am like Shiva. Sometimes fire, sometimes cool. I'm very close to, always been my whole life very close to Shiva. And that is what the uniqueness of Shiva, he is the king of the yogis. Totally silent. Undisturbed by anything. And he's Nataraj, the cosmic dancer. He's wild. He make it total chaos, breaks everything. What is needed to break? That's how a good God should be. Whatever is needed. And the full moon is also very good because it is, in India they call it Guri Purnima. This is this full moon, that is the full moon of all the enlightened ones, of all the masters. It's very sacred in India. Because the full moon is an image of the master, of the guru. And the full moon in July in India, it is in the rainy season. And the dark clouds are hiding the full moon. That is your mind. That is the disciples who are lost in their minds. But you have to remember that the full moon is untouched. It is beyond the dark clouds, undisturbed by the dark clouds. So the full moon is there to remind you that there's something beyond the darkness. So it's a very good time for the Shiva fire. In fact, it's always a good time. I'm experiencing both sometime being deeply immersed in your silence, bliss, love, and also becoming more and more aware of how my persona managed to reconstruct itself. My core tendencies are becoming very clean and precise. And one thing is for sure, this persona is getting weaker. In satsang, that is the place to make this old persona weaker, no? But if you are not very conscious, you start feeding him as soon as you are out of satsang. You have to come to a place that, no, you want to get rid of, you want to starve that guy. You want to be free. This, your scorpion metaphor really went in. There is also this insight that I cannot kill it, but I can stop feeding it. And I feel I have been doing that, but this tricky scorpion can fast for a long time, and then it gets just a little piece of food, and it comes back, and it says, hey, I'm still here. Yes. It's worse than the scorpion, and the scorpion is very bad. And all the Mayan Indians, they know that the scorpion is bad. And that is how, a seeker, you have to realize that this old habit is very bad. You have to make a decision. The deeper I go, the more subtle it becomes. Without your fire and your light, I would never see it and manage to drop it, beloved. I know, Ashish. And I'm very happy that now you have some light again. Many people, I told you yesterday also, now you start getting more light, unburdened, clear. Then you start seeing more your situation with clarity. That is great. But this happens every retreat. You have to take care of it. Otherwise, this old habit, this persona, this ghost comes on you again because you are not strong enough. Now you can see and you feel very good, very relieved. Ah, unburdened, free you feel. Then you want more, but you have to be conscious. Remember, now you are in my energy, so you see this. You trust me, you love me, so you're coming back. So it's good that it goes in, and you have to let it go deeper. Without your fire and your light, I will never see it and manage to drop it, beloved. It's very good. And it reminds me of that there is a few people, even here in this valley that I heard about, that they say they have got a name from me, but it seems like they are not interested in sannyas or any light because they manage by themselves. They say, we don't need to go to satsang, we don't need a master. Nothing makes me more happy that you don't need a master. So then, if they come to that conclusion, then they should drop their name. And then they should go away from here. Instead of some vampires, they just come here. The only thing they look for, if it's some new women, not for light, not for consciousness. So I'm telling you, if you guys are connected and you see how valuable it is, then remind these people, because why be here? They came because of me. No, they have gone cold. They don't even come. They have forgotten that they need any light. Very good. If they don't need, why are they here then? So now you see, without your fire and your light, I would never see it. Yes, it's very difficult to see it without the fire because you are going in your own mind, your own darkness. It's almost shocking when you first see it. And the mind is so strong that even people who have been here, when they don't stay in touch, the mind takes over. The only thing I would like, if you don't need any master, the master is there, so you come back to your own master. The master is an inner master. There's no separation. It's consciousness, love itself. I also get very touched when you shared about Tibet. I felt your love and prayerfulness showing in the sharings and in the movies and spreading to the whole earth. As you said, love is the most powerful force in the whole universe. Your love, the real love, is, I can feel it, beloved. Yes. I also feel that I need to thank the Sangha for the easy and the good parts and for the challenges also. It is an honor for me to dissolve into this sacred gathering. I don't want to resist anymore. And if I do so, I'm very open to look, recognize and surrender deeper. Okay, so now if Ashish is resisting, kick him in the butt. I like very much when people are clear that they say, because now you are allowed now. And then when they resist, then you say that I don't want to resist anymore. Then it's very good when people can say that. It's good for me also because I have to disturb you because I know that you don't want to be tight. You want to be free. You want to come to the light. You want to be unburdened. You want to wake up. But also, you don't want. This is a struggle. One foot on land, one foot on the boat. Like that. It feels very necessary and good to express it. Guru Yoga, beloved, that is my path. Well, then you have to be worthy for it because it's the highest, the easiest. It's the way of the birds. Then it stops there. It's not, what is the way of the birds? With deep love and respect, I take refuge in you, beloved. Thank you, Ashish. It's good now. I know you're finishing the retreat. It's about time that you guys is waking up now, getting a little hot. Beloved Babaji, yesterday when you mentioned that someone complained about the cold in Satsang Tent, I suddenly found myself identified with what you said. I don't know if it was a coincidence, but one day before I had brought this issue for discussion with the other meditation facilitators because I saw the weather forecast and I felt that we should consider to have a Vipassana session inside in the satsang room. Then one of the friends brought the other side, the uniqueness that it is to sit in the forest with the wind and the birds and the best satsang temple in all the galaxy. I really feel that this issue is a dilemma between the wonderful and the fantastic. There is no dilemma between the wonderful and the fantastic, Kamal. There's nothing between the wonderful and fantastic. Wonderful is great, fantastic is just far out. Only when you come in the picture, then it can be a dilemma. We create the dilemma. Whatever we choose would be great. Then don't choose. You see, when you bring out two things, then it brings in the mind. In clarity, there is only one. There is never any choice. In the beginning is choice. You have to choose. You have to reclaim yourself. what you want in life. I felt to check with the friends to find out what would be the best option for everybody to go deeper into meditation. You can never find out what is best for everybody. And you could do an inquiry session for the next week to check with everybody what is their opinion of this subject. Then you will be in a fine mess. So you could facilitate that, Kamal. Have private interviews with everybody and get their opinions. What is the right thing? To sit outside or inside? This is part of the truth, but the other part, which is not good to see, is that as I look deeper inside myself to check why it came, this uncomfortable feeling when you spoke about it in satsang, I could see some personal preference there. I could see someone that chooses the wonderful rather than the fantastic. Someone wanting to manipulate for its own benefit. Yes, but when you can choose between the wonderful and the fantastic, always choose the fantastic. This is again how the mind is. You have two great choices and you go for the best, the worst. That's why I'm saying be quiet. But it's good that this is came up because this is the best place. There's no doubt about it. And if it's cold, put on more clothes. And if it's mosquitoes, put on more tush, 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 tush. You are in the forest, fresh air, in the mountains, in Dharma Mountain. The river is this, there, your next neighbor. What could be a better place to meditate? That's why I say, if you can't even sit here, we have become so weak. And you, such a great yogi, strong, and you can't even sit here under the tent. I'm not even asking you to sit outside in the rain. That's what kind of chickens are this? You have to have this inside that this is the best. I'm sitting here with Babaji in the forest. What could be better than that? Don't let your mind come in. But look how weak the humans has become. Can't even sit here. And it's full summer. Had it been in the winter, even I would say, because I know that some of you would get very sick, I would say, I take care of you. But then you see, great, I talk about the Himalayas and the Tibetans, and you see, and they sit there just with the shawl in the cave, meditating for years in retreat. And you think, oh, great. And you cannot sit here with four sweaters because it's 14 degrees. This is very embarrassing for a master to have yogis like that. I feel very hurt. Nah. But I know people are different, and some is like, some people maybe been, I had people, they've been sitting in an apartment or stuck in a terrible marriage for the last 30 years, only sitting inside, and then suddenly they sit outside. Oh my God, it's scary. So I understand it, but don't give in to it. Become a little more fresh. Don't be afraid of the fresh air. Are you cold now? You are hot?
Yeah.
Yeah, very hot? That's how easy it is. Just a little inner energy. That flung in my face is selfishness that follows me since I don't know when, and open the wound that is burning now. That's how it is, Kamal, and that's how it is for everybody. You never know. It has maybe nothing to do with you, but whatever you need to hear, little blind spot, that's where the arrow will hit you. This has nothing to do with me. It's some issue you have to look at. Open the wound that is burning now. And the wounds, they have to be open so they can heal, no? The wounds heals much quicker when it's in open, fresh air. It seems like it is a healing process that started in the inquiry session and now is maximized 1,000 times with your fire that was even hotter than usual in the last satsang. What can I say? I'm sorry. I will take it down a few knots, so I don't burn you to a crisp. The good thing is that together with the sorrow, I'm feeling a strength to let the wound burn until it becomes ashes, and understanding that enough is enough. So one more time, the only thing left for me is to thank you from the bottom of my heart for keeping this fire burning. I love you, Kamal. Are you warm now? So now, it's good that it came up, because it's nothing for you to talk about, because that is just how it is. This is our satsang place. And if it starts snowing, I will tell you that we go in. But otherwise, I feel very embarrassed what kind of yogis. When good yogis like you and Jaitang and Ashish, they're all waking up now. Even Mukunda now. He has to have his hat. That's okay. You know? If you're Italian or Brazilian, you can have your hat also. And I told, many years ago, I told you a very good thing, which I never had, but it's just my compassion for you, that you should have a hot water bottle. And if you have that, like under the shawl or the poncho, then no problem, you can sit. You can even sit on them, because the Norwegian quality is very good, even though it's made in China. But the hot water bottle, then everything. I'm sure they have hot water. Did you buy the hot water bottles? You have them for sale here? Yeah? No, that. No. So this was my suggestion many years ago, that maybe it would be good. So maybe now we will arrange it for the next hot summer in Norway. Then we will get some. hot water bottles for the cold. Kamal could buy one like that. Or you could practice your inner Dumu fire. That is what the Tibetans do. They create inner heat. Because the mind is higher than the body. So if you only are stuck in the body, you are always a slave of the hot and cold and the temperature. This is what the Tibetan yogis did. They visualize themselves that they are very, very hot, so hot that they are sweating. So they train the mind as such. That is the secret. I'm not telling that you should do it if you feel like it. Maybe you want to, but it might take a long time to practice. But for them it was very important, no? Very important when they live outside. They didn't have hot water bottle, they didn't have wood floor, they didn't have anything. No? Then you have to practice this. Get very strong. So your mind becomes your slave. You're not the slave of the mind. You use the mind. That's how you can use your mind. Then you use your mind to heat up the body. You can visualize that you are hot. When I lived in the Himalayas in Manali, then I used to go and sit in the river, like this river. Best place for meditation. Very cold. Take no notice. Yogi situation. No, I'm retired. Even though today I also was in the river, but just for pleasure. Yamuna doesn't understand, it's for pleasure. You say, no, no, you're crazy. Beloved Babaji, a brief sharing. I am one of those chickens you said yesterday, and I want to be free. Every time you share about your totality throughout your life, I feel ashamed for myself, and I'm tired of myself. Less words and more action. At your feet, Dhamma Mitra. Very good. You know how the chickens become free? Waka! So, if you feel ashamed of yourself and tired of yourself, then my suggestion is drop yourself. Drop yourself. That means dropping your past. And I have to challenge you, so it's good that chickens and all yogis and stubborn people and all kinds of animals and creatures get disturbed. Because much more is possible to life. I have to. It's out of my love for you. If you are tired, no, you also... It has to come to almost the end of the retreat. No, you realize, no, you really take it in. I'm tired of myself. Change it then. Drop this and be more total. But people, we have such an old resistance into really living, into any change. We cling desperately to the old, like it's going to save us. But no, you realize it won't. You even feel ashamed, you feel fed up. Then, isn't it about time that you try something else then? You have tried this now. some people, they are very slow. It's more, the Norwegians are more slow in the work in the Sangha. I think it's something with the culture, and also I think because they are very spoiled. They get money from the government. It's very bad. In one way, it's good, of course, because you can just be lazy and sit there in satsang. That is good. But it's not good for your own growth, maybe. Because many times it comes up, you have some work, and then, oh, this and so-and-so is so exhausted. This is so-and-so is so tired. Oh, she can't make it anymore. She's so burnt out. If you can be burnt out here, hello. But this is something deep in your conditioning. And you will never make it if you can't find that life energy, that fire in you, to do something here. Because this is where you want to be. You saying that you are so fortunate that you are saved. You could never dream about being here. And then on the other side I hear, oh, so-and-so, she's so burnt out now. She's so tired. What do you do? Tired of cutting some vegetables? Tired of booking some people who wants to come to the retreat? It's embarrassing. Shake yourself up that you want to be alive. Don't be so weak in yourself. You're giving up. You're giving up to that old weak side, dark side, that Dharma Mitra said he feels ashamed of. There's no oomph, there is no fire, there's no totality. And if you don't find it here, you will never find it, because this is for your own growth. You are not working for Sony Ericsson. You have to break through this. And then suddenly you have proved yourself that you have energy. When I was in the ashram with Osho, we worked every day. We were used to that from India, but then when we moved to the commune in America, then suddenly it was totally crazy, totally mad. Every day, 12 hours a day, for 4 or 5 years I worked. To hear something like that, I'm so burnt out. You have never touched all that energy you have inside. You've always been just on the surface, which is hardly any energy at all. But you have many, many deeper levels in yourself. Much more untapped energy that you will never touch if you don't push yourself a little bit. And become white eagles, for example. That's more cool. But don't stop there. Go beyond that also. But I think this is something to do. It is so easy to just be lazy in Norway and get money. You don't need to do anything. Life has become too comfortable. That is very bad, because you should feel your own strength in every way. And when you know you have it, only then can you relax. Then you don't need to prove anything, because you know you have it. have to be strong in spirit if you're going to make it. When people haven't had any hard time in their life, they become very weak. You have to find your inner strength, no? It's a paradox. People are saying that they have such a blessed life. It's just a miracle that they are here. It's just fantastic. And then they complain about getting tired and burned out with little things. You will never break free in that way. You have to regain your strength. If it's something you want, you have so much energy that you have never touched. I just told you about these teenagers from Tibet that I met walking over the mountain. They really wanted to get out. They even left the family, everything. They don't know if they will die. Then you will make it. That's the kind of energy you need. Otherwise, the servant will always be the Lord. You have to reclaim your power, become your own Lord. Show that slave, that mind, that lethargic habit you have, that you have some other power. But now also is one of the things that in this Western civilization and in rich countries, you have become very spoiled, very lazy. And that is just on the physical. What to say? You first have to be strong to do things on that. That's like some masters, they worked a lot on that, like Gurdjieff. Like many Zen masters, you just have to work to break down, to break through this resistance, so you get fed up with yourself, that you prove to yourself that you are much more, you're not just a weakling, you're not just a chicken. Who wants to be chicken when you're a human being? Beloved, you are the most beautiful human being that I have ever found. What you have done in my life up till now is already a miracle. You really brought me back from the dead and gave me life. Yes, now decide what you want to do with your life, what you want to devote yours, this precious life to. That is the next. Now I gave you life, I woke you up. You woke up my heart, allowed me to know a love that I had no idea existed. You gave me this beautiful family, brought me to live in paradise. This is just what I was talking about. You see, this is a story of all of you. Then devote yourself to this new life. So many things that I could just go on and on and on, but I would also like to share something else. I'm very grateful for all this, eternally grateful. You are the most clear, most pure, and most clean mirror that I can find. Nothing stays hidden in the light. Of your presence, everything comes up. You reflect exactly where I am, my situation. What you have been showing me, and maybe I didn't want to see it before now, is that although I know in the deepest of my heart that my biggest longing is to become free, to surrender to love, to life, to you, I still have a foot on the boat and another on land. This contradiction exists in me, this division. Yes, Farooq. Only now can you see it, but that is great because you have to see your situation before you can consciously change it. First is just by good luck, by accident, that suddenly you find yourself in satsang. Wow! Then is my energy ignites you. But now you have to ignite yourself. You have to work for your own consciousness, your own understanding, your own life. You have to become a creator. It is my deepest longing, but at the same time there are other things, desires, dreams, games, that distracts me, that takes my focus away, that involve me and make me lose myself in the outside. These things still have power over me. When I'm sitting, listening to you, your words and your presence brings me such a great clarity that the voice inside me says with a certainty, enough is enough, it's enough, enough. But it doesn't take long, life goes on, and when I see I'm already involved in the games of desires, in the dreams, I am split again. And it becomes clear that this certainty was not really that certain, that the enough was also not so certain. For some time now I have been seeing this, but in an unconscious way I have been fooling myself and covering up the situation as to not see it clearly. Yes, you start understanding, Farooq, what I'm saying. I am always saying that everybody wants freedom, but nobody wants responsibility. That's where you are. No, you have touched that freedom. I ignite it in you, this beautiful life, your own heart. But then you have to be responsible. Otherwise, it will go again. And this is how it is now when you are with me, again, it gets ignited. It's very clear. Your own self, your own consciousness, your own heart says enough is enough. I know this, I don't want to be involved. It's crystal clear. But that is in my light, in my energy. You have to become responsible for it. That's what I mean. You have to stand up for it. You have to integrate it into your life. Only then will it be there all the time. That's the challenge. There's no easy way. For some, you have you have to be worthy of it. I'm giving it freely. So you have a taste, but you have to make it real. And only with hard work and dedication and responsibility for your own life will you make it. It becomes clear that this certainty was not really that certain, that the enough was also not so certain. For some time I have been seeing this, but in an unconscious way I have been fooling myself and covering up the situation as to not see it clearly. Yeah, because we don't want to take responsibility. It's much easier to fool yourself. Even if you are tired of yourself, even if you are tired of your games. But these days, in the silence, a deeper understanding and acceptance of the real situation I'm in has been happening. And the beauty is that this understanding and this acceptance showed me to see the situation in a totally different way. In fact, it made me relax. Can a fruit speed up its own ripening? Can a dry log dry faster by its own will? Can a fruit speed up by its own ripening? No, but you are not the fruit. That is the good news. So, if fruit cannot speed up its own ripening, but the human can, then you come back to the responsibility of being human, of doing something with this human birth, this human life. Consciousness, dedication, awareness, meditation, this can speed up this ripening, this blossoming of your own heart, your own consciousness. That is what is happening. That is what sannyasa is all about. Sannyasin is one who wants to get ripe. I don't want to stay just a dry log. I want to become ripe. So, yes, a human can. Can a dry log dry faster by its own will? No, not the dry log, but the human can. That's the good news, and that also makes you very shaky, because it means that, yes, it is possible. It is all in your hands. That's the totality that I'm talking about. The dedication that the Buddhas are talking about, the commitment, the surrender, the understanding, the 100%, the oomph. To be available is totally necessary, but maybe even this is not something I can do. Yes, there is something you can do. It's a lot you can do. And when you have done all you can do, then you cannot do anything more. But there's a lot you can do. Like the wet log that is placed close to the fire to dry, and sooner or later it will be ready to be burnt. I will remain close to you as much as I can, as quiet as I can, so I do not disturb the beauty that is already happening. I know that I'm on a path with no return. I have tasted, even if it's only a few drops, this love, this silence, this peace, the freedom, and now I want more. I can no longer live without it. Yes, that is what we call the Buddha disease. You have caught that. And only fortunate people get this disease, that you want to get free. You want to get healed. And you are very lucky if you see that there is no return. You want more. You cannot even live longer without it. Then go totally for it then. This can happen now. You can decide in this very moment. That you don't go here or there, you stick to there. You are dedicated to the truth. You become strong in spirit. That is everybody's choice. It might be hard. You have to be aware of your habits, of your unconsciousness, of your dark desires, of your mind. But it's possible. Otherwise, do as much as you can. I don't complain for having to wait. I love the life you have given me. But the truth is that I don't want to be forever with a foot on the boat and another on the land. Great. Then come aboard. Leave the safe shore and come on board to my boat. Are you ready? Okay, then decide. Now I come into Babaji's boat. And who knows where we will go? Are you ready? Is it exciting? Are you ready to leave the land, the safety of the land? Good. I'm mad for that adventure. But most people are very afraid. You have to be an explorer. My heart longs to venture itself with you in the vast blue ocean, gratitude and love, from where I find myself now, your disciple, Farooq. Very good, Farooq. Let's go. Buddha had the saying, few cross the river, few cross the ocean, most are stranded on this side. On the river bank they run up and down. But the wise person, following the way, following his heart, crosses the river beyond the reach of death. Free from desire, free from possessions, free from attachment and appetite and dreams, following the light of the awakened one and rejoicing greatly in his freedom. In this world, the wise person becomes themselves free, pure, shining. Very few cross the river. It's always been like that. This is the Buddha who says 2,500 years ago to his disciples, to his sannyasins, listen, very few cross the river. Most are stranded on this side. This side where you know how things work, where you're safe, where your family is, where your identity is, where your past is. Maybe you dream about the other side, that is the unknown, that is freedom. But the price you have to pay is to leave everything on this shore. No, Buddha is in the boat. The Buddhas are people who can take you across to the further shore, into the unknown, to explore yourself, to find yourself. Few cross over the river, most are stranded on this side. On the river bank, they run up and down. That's how the Buddha sees people, doing the same thing, running up and down. Even if you have done it 1,000 times, you are still going up and down, not tired. First, the Buddha has to give you this insight that I'm tired now. Not only tired, but I am ashamed. I can see now in the new light. What have I been doing? How I've been wasting my whole life. I have nothing to lose. I only want to cross. Only a few drops from the nectar of a Buddha can transform me. Because those drops of truth, of love, ignite something in you that is much better than your whole life up till that moment. That's why people always been following the Buddhas and left the country, the family, the money, whatever. Because something precious has been touched. Few cross over the river, most are stranded on this side. On the river bank they run up and down, but the wise person, following the way, following his heart, crosses over beyond the reach of death. That is the wise person. That is the one who's following the Dhamma, the truth, who listens to his own heart, who becomes responsible. Free from desires, free from possessions, free from attachment, free from greed, following the light of the awakened ones and rejoicing greatly in his freedom. That is the sign of the freedom. First is fear. I want to be in the old, in the known, in the safe. Then when you first have taken the step and felt this new freedom, then you rejoice in it. Then you find peace in it. In this world, the wise person becomes themselves free, pure, shining. In this world, not in the next, not in some paradise after this life, but in this very world, they become free. They live in this world, but they are free. That is enlightenment. That is the Buddhas. That is the way. That is the possibility. In this world, the wise person becomes themselves free. And when they become free, they become shining. They become pure. They become a light. And then people who are attracted to that light will start to remember. May everyone remember. Aum Shanti.